Call the meeting to order, and let's see, it is 6:04 p.m. Matt, can I ask you to call off the roll? Or
sure
call
thing.
Off the roll? Sure.
Member Flanagan?
Present.
Member Frederick?
Present.
Member Kwan? Member Lauber?
Here.
Member Manning?
Here.
Member Morrell and Chairman Vasquez.
Here, thank you. And just for the record, both Morrell and Kwan informed me that they were out. They're not going to attend the meeting today. They're both on vacation. So they're unable to join us. But we do have a quorum. We have more than four. So we're fine to continue with our business. And so the next item on the agenda would be the public comment section. I do see a Ms. Sun-Hee Yoon, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Would you like to make some public comment, or are you just joining to listen, which is fine either way? I just want to acknowledge that since you're in our Zoom and committee meeting today.
Thank you.
Okay.
I do not have any public comments, but I'd like to, as this conversation moving along, I want to know how much this committee has worked with the Northwest Housing Partnership to promote K-Bubble program. I've been actively promoting the K-Bubble program that it is funded by government. And I think I read this article from newsletter of River Forest newsletter. So it is on our alley, and I want to know how much we have been, you know, providing the services and how many residents have been using the program or, you know, getting the services.
Okay. I'm not sure.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Jim.
I guess I'm not familiar with the program. Sun-Hee, can you fill us in on what this program is, what it's about?
Yeah.
Anything you can tell us would be very helpful.
Okay. So K-Bubble program is it is initiated from National Council on Aging, and I believe it is a based evidence-based program that I know. Well, I am not the authority of, you know, providing these services. So only I know as a client, and the Northwest Housing Partnership has directed, and, you know, they are covering Oak Park, River Forest, and then northern part of neighbor state, Schaumburg area, and then in a certain part of the northern suburban area. So they come with first assessment of a household, residents who is over 62 years old, and they come with, you know, plan, which comes with a registered nurse, and then follow with occupational therapist, and then handyman. So it is a program that it helps for aging adults in providing more safe home and, you know, for fall preventions. And, you know, these are.
Okay, so this is a program that Township Senior Services actively engages with in Oak Park and River Forest. It originally came from research that was done by our Senior Services Committee over several years. We engaged a partnership with other senior living authorities that had a handyman service. They have been providing those services here in the Oak Park and River Forest area for, I think, approximately the past 2 years. The use has been great. We have a good cooperation and partnership with them. And then as a result of an individual in the community contacting the township for, say, help with changing a light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask for help with changing a light bulb, then they're going to send over, in a way, a social worker and potentially an RN to do an evaluation as well to see if you then could use additional services and have additional needs. So that's what the program is about. And soon we do participate actively in it and have been engaged in it with it for several years now.
Okay. So you're saying that it is run by the city of a township of River Forest?
Yeah. We have a contract with this organization. If you checked with Pam Mon and you were at our Christmas meeting just a month ago. So all those people that were in that room were actively involved in making sure that this partnership was actively engaged in the Oak Park River Forest area. And so Pam's got all the information on the number of users. It's hundreds of people have used the service.
Yeah.
The reuse percentage, all of that statistical data is available. And so then a community a resident of our communities at this time can call and engage in that handyman service that you're speaking of now.
So Paula, who is the director of a Northwest Housing Partnership, is she part of this conversation? Because that's how we got to know from newsletter. That was her phone number, and that was direct name, and then it was directed to her.
I don't know, Lydia, you've sat in on the meetings as well, but I would imagine that Pam Mon would be your direct contact regarding any information.
Pam Mon, or if you're in River Forest, Carla Sloan.
Carla Sloan or Betsy.
Or Betsy Kelly.
Betsy Kelly.
Because River Forest Township works with the Oak Park Township when it comes to senior services. That's why there's the connection. And I know the handyman program was initiated with Oak Park, but they have worked with River Forest as well. So I know that they usually are working together. So probably either one. Like I said, like Jim and Lydia said, both Pam Mon from Oak Park Township and or Carla Sloan or Betsy from River Forest. They work together on that.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Matt, are there any other, did you get any written public comments or?
I have not. No, okay. And nobody else has logged on.
Okay. All right, then let's continue with our agenda. We have, as part of the packet that went out, we have the approval of the January 1, 2023 meeting minutes. Do we have a motion to approve and a second?
I motion to approve.
Okay. Jim seconds. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. Matt, can you please call the roll?
Okay. Member Flanagan?
Aye.
Member Frederick?
She's.
I think.
You're still muted. Okay, now.
I have a cough. I'm trying to spare everybody. Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Member Lauber?
Yes.
Member Manning?
Yes.
And Chairman Vasquez?
Yes. Okay, they're approved. Okay, then let's go to the old business, which is review and finalizing the goals and recommendations for our report and action plan to go to the village. Just a brief update. At the last meeting, we talked about finalizing the goals and the recommendations, of which we asked all committee members to submit to Matt, which that Matt would coordinate and put one draft with everyone's contributions. We did receive, and that's for members who wanted to submit contributions. We did receive comments from Dan Lauber and from Deb. Thank you both. And so Matt and I looked at combining them into the draft, which Lydia prepared as the model. And so we incorporated that and send that out to the group. And so today, hopefully, we'll get some type of conclusion on that draft. Again, the goals and the recommendations of which all of you received. And I, you know, it was sent out on Monday. We tried to incorporate to make it look good. So you both, by the way, everyone received a clean copy of the revision as well as the red line version of the revision. So you were able to see that. So let me just start that. I think we're pretty much there. I do think that there were some additional comments. And I note, Dan, on your comments, you pointed to certain areas you thought the committee ought to focus on or adding information there. I'm not sure at this point whether people, I mean, everyone was allowed and given the opportunity to add additional information on there. I'm not sure. I'm assuming then, and the committee members can correct me if I'm wrong, that if no additional recommendations or changes were made other than the two additional inputs that we received from the two members, everybody else was okay with the draft. And so I think then that leaves us to, and Dan, you put in there note to committees. Is that just a thing you wanted to highlight or things you really were proposing? Because I, again, some of them were, we need to do this, we need to add more. But I don't know if we're going to get any additional input from committee members on those items.
The notes for committee were not intended to be included in the report. They were to suggest further thought about the recommendation or provide
okay
basis for the recommendation.
And Dan, thank you for that correction. You are right. We left them in there because when we sent it out to the full committee, I wanted them to see what your notes were and what you were pointing out to the committee. I didn't want to exclude them, if sort of, for example. I wanted them to see it as well. So so at this point, I'm assuming then all the members here had had an opportunity to look at it. And is there any of the additions labeled note to committee? Does anybody have any input on that or changes or recommendations onto that? And then now is the time to speak.
Okay. I have a broad question.
Yeah.
We were told to submit goals and recommendations. Yet yes. We have a mashup of things identified as essential activities and things identified as recommendations. And there's not much consistency. And I'm wondering if you guys can, I thought these essential activities were all supposed to be put in as recommendations. That's what we seem to have been guided to do at the end of the last meeting.
Okay.
We need some consistency in this.
No, I agree. We're going to get to there. What I'm saying is right now on the goals and recommendations is what we added input from. And so regarding the notes, I'm taking it one step at a time. The notes to committee that were highlighted were notes that Dan put in there for the committee to either discuss or think about or answer. I'm just trying to see, is there anybody here who wanted to add or make comments on any of those notes? Otherwise, if there is, we can go address one or two of those notes. If not, we can just, we will eliminate, is what I'm saying. We will delete them because they, as Dan said, they weren't intended to be part of the report. They were there just for further thought from the committee members. So,
yeah, Rez, they're largely to flesh out and clarify things that aren't clear. So, for example, on page 19, under number 3, encourage the village to collaborate. I mean, I'm suggesting that the recommendations need to be clarified. I don't know that someone's going to intuitively know what a daily call program is. And then maybe, you know, if this is the sort of thing that's established as an age-friendly mitigation for social isolation, then maybe that should be similar recommendation under the social isolation.
Dan, what page are you on?
You said 19? Page 19.
Of 22 the in the PDF file.
And is that on, that's the one with all the track changes, the one that Matt sent over? Yeah.
This is the PDF that's part of the packet.
Yeah, it's more.
I think it should be the same. Well, I pulled up. This is the Word document. None of the track changes are showing, but they have been applied. So I believe this is the page 19 that you were referring to, Member Lauber, with the collaboration, including your note to committee.
Yeah.
So was this regarding social participation?
Yes.
Yes.
So, okay.
Okay. So then the first note was then inserted goal, Lauber, to combat isolation while providing opportunities for older adults to engage in the life of their community with accessible and affordable activities that are meaningful, engaging, and safe. Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what's stated in the recommendation below. So we've got a kind of a nomenclature issue of whether, how we're going to format, whether we're using the word goal or recommendation, or we eliminated all the essential activities. We eliminated all that language, I believe. And so where we got to the point where I thought we were just going to kind of come up with our findings, than the recommendations based on the findings.
Okay. So then all the essential language on essential activity, Jim, correct me, then those are to be eliminated.
Yeah, like we did, I think. Like, again, I thought we did. Like here, it's below creative opportunities for more expansive community engagement for older adults. Provide opportunities for solo activities, no cost older adults events, and improve communication about the events.
Okay.
That's an essential activity that went beyond. I don't know if that's in Dan's draft or in the Jim and Lydia draft. I'd have to go back and look to see.
Jim, I believe that was in the Jim and Lydia draft. It might have, maybe I didn't, maybe it was removed and I accidentally kept it in there, but I believe that was in the
Lydia. Chime in, like, again, all I'm trying to do, I don't have a dog in the fight other than the format. Like, what we were going to do was report the recommendation, you know, the findings, the basis, the recommendation, which we're going to do.
And then any like action or essential activity that would help us meet the recommendation.
Okay, so then we're keeping essential activities in. Okay, I'm fine. I'm just trying to clarify. What we agreed on.
Okay.
Which is fine to me. So then we get to this work with relevant village departments to expand intergenerational programming settings such as parks, libraries, and other nonprofit arts organizations, senior centers, and other facility. Needs to be refined to a bit more precise. We eliminated the museum language.
Good.
Well, the senior center, I would argue that is, there's a lot of locations that we think of because of our partnership with Oak Park Township, that our congregate meal for River Forest residents takes place on Oak Park Avenue in Oak Park. So the River Forest Community Center, the Oak Park Township building, the Oak Park Library, the River Forest Public Library, River Forest Park District, Oak Park Park District, these are all of the players in the space that would create intergenerational opportunities for older adults.
So why not use a broad term about working with these Oak Park groups? Be a little bit more precise.
Well, I guess work with relevant village departments to expand intergenerational programming and settings such as parks, libraries and other nonprofit arts organizations, community and senior centers and other facilities. I think it's implicit that the trustees understand this relationship. It's confusing to the residents that we contract our services through Oak Park Township. That can be a hurdle that I don't know needs to really come into the fore here in this discussion. That's why it's better to have a general statement rather than call out specific institutions and organizations within other intergovernment organizations that we really have basically very limited agreements with or mutual understandings with that we share and collaborate with, but we don't have written agreements other than our relationship with the township.
Why not just say add simply and other facilities in River Forest and Oak Park?
Okay.
And that's fine. I would say that creates an ambiguity and vagueness and other facilities. And then someone would say, well, what does that mean? Why can't you just state what they are? So that's fine. I don't have all night. I really don't.
Okay. All right. Okay. And then I'm just going further down. There's a number three. Dan, you're saying that this one needs to be clarified too. What is?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, what daily call program, that is not something someone's going to intuitively know what it means necessarily.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So you might, you know, spell it out.
Yeah, and I would submit to you that in law enforcement, in Oak Park and in Forest Park has a very tight community call program, okay, where people are identified and the police department calls them on a daily basis. And I'm sure our River Forest Police Department engages in the same social service offering because we have a community engagement offer specifically designated for older adults. So a call program, a daily call program is that akin to a daily check program in a senior living facility or in any community where people live in where they get checked in on a daily basis.
Okay.
No problem. I'm just saying, spell it out a little bit because this is not something just for the police to read. It's for the, you know, the village board, and we shouldn't be assuming everyone on the village board is going to fully understand it as well as the public.
Okay. Well, add something there. That's fine. Then the next one is on page 23, Matt. You want to move it to page 23?
Oh, for the next note?
Yes. I'm addressing now the notes to committees. Correct.
Yeah, what does number one mean in plain English?
I mean, people
may not understand network of communication channels. It's a, you know, possibly a technical term.
Or, yeah, network of communication channels or dissemination of information. I mean, I think we're in the village, we're accustomed to getting information via the digital newsletter or in snail mail. So, you know, what are those methods for communicating with residents?
Yeah, that says it more clearly.
Okay. So, Dan, you just want us to clarify what the network of communication channels are.
I'm trying to make this fully accessible to readers.
Okay. All right. And then the next one is number two, each for the rubric. Oh, I suspect folks may be confused by the word rubric. Okay. That fits.
Then make it a checklist.
Okay. Okay, just a friendly checklist.
And you might want to fix the typo after the word that, I assume should be is, not in.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Number three, the next page is just saying that the recommendation aligns well with the other recommendations.
Okay. Then I'm flipping over to the next one. I have 32, but keep going. Yeah.
There's something on page 29.
Oh, I missed one.
Of course, we both can be clever and just search for notes of committee.
Okay. You know, I was looking for red text, and so you're right. Okay. The recommendation is related to the regular street lighting and the outdoor space remain. I'm suggesting including it here in this broader language because it's just plain appropriate here as transportation. That's where a reader would expect that.
Yeah, that's okay. Just an explanation of why I suggested it there.
Okay,
before we get to the next one, which is going to be on...
I'm sorry, did we skip past social respect and social inclusion? What in my document was page 21. I'm not sure what it is in this accepted document. But I think it would be... It's after...
Yes, you're right. It's page 21.
It's right after social participation.
Oh, you're right. On page 22... There's a notes committee there. You're correct. I'm sorry. I'm going to be careful. I was looking for red text. I apologize.
I tried to keep the red in, but it...
Okay, no worries. That was just... I was speed reading through... You know what? And now that you mention it, too, on page 21, at the very top, before civic social involvement, there's another note to committee there.
Yeah, I thought the section was kind of weak, and I was hoping other committee members who have expertise on this might have ideas of how to bolster it. That's all.
Okay.
And actually, if you go back to page 20 and number one there, create an anti-ageism campaign, there's something's missing in that sentence. And work to have River Forest become a village without ageism. There's a verb missing.
Be a village.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Okay. Then that takes us back to...
Well, if you scroll down, hold on, Matt, there, right there.
Sorry.
Okay, 22. This is the really weak comment. Well, I mean, we have three recommendations: intergenerational activities, gathering data for more underrepresented groups. Dan, what would you like to see there?
Hey, I just thought it wasn't really... as strong as other sections. If people are satisfied with it, I got no problem.
Yeah, I think it's representative of what we found. So I think it's adequate.
We might need a central activity for bullet point three, or just eliminate it and have it be one and two. But
All right.
I mean, I think maybe the essential activity for number three is, you know, making sure that the village is operating from a platform of inclusion at all levels. Right. Like I get we have the diversity and inclusion committee, but the fact that they don't deal with age is problematic, I think. So I think if we're going to work, if we're going to be inclusive, that means inclusive among all variables.
That's the thing I think about all the time too. When I think about this, I think about not just older adults, but like all abilities, all ages, in terms of the context. And then if we're going to make demands that we have to look at everything through a gerontological lens, then by the same token, we should look at it through a diverse lens, an ethnic lens, a gender lens, a youth lens. And at some point in time, then we have to take a holistic approach and incorporate these things in a meaningful way that can actually be accomplished. So,
I would argue if you are operating from a gerontological lens, diversity and inclusion are inherent in that.
I agree with you, Dr. Manning. And not often do I really outright agree with you. So,
all right. Okay. Thank you. And we'll add some language to that. Then takes us over to page 22. At the top, right under one, there's another note there. You know what that, okay.
You know, I realize some of these notes are, but they were put in the old version of this, and they may be referring to something that's been cut out.
Oh, okay.
This is actually something that I can speak to just briefly.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody recalls, I've lived here for 50 years. And so there was a place on Oak Park Avenue, right across from where the Wednesday Journal is, or right next door, called the Volunteer Center of Oak Park.
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody recall? Well, basically what the Volunteer Center of Oak Park was, because when we were mobilizing in River Forest for the floods and sandbagging, and I went to look for volunteers, they said, no, we're not really a repository of volunteers. We operate with a program within the county and the sheriff's department to put people that have been given certain court sentences to work for periods of time in volunteer capacity. And I thought to myself, really, in a community this rich with all these resources, and this is 15 or 20 years ago, that there wasn't a central repository for volunteering. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, actually, we set up a thing called volunteer.us, which was a place where people could go. It's not in existence anymore, but where people could go, enter their information, their skills, their preferences, their likes, dislikes, and then organizations could then interface with it to see and draw from the pool of potential volunteers and something like that. So something like that should exist. And it doesn't. So, I think that's kind of what this is driving towards, this recommendation. I didn't write it, but I think it has merit. The thing at the end of the day is who is responsible for it, who compiles it, who maintains it, and what medium is it? What does it cost? And that's a lot to answer. So.
Okay. You know what?
I think also too, some of this work, Jim, you did that work years ago with folks, and I think Concordia was involved and Dominican, but also I was thinking too about the work that Helen's done. And part of our charge was thinking about what things look like pre-COVID and post-COVID. And Helen was really instrumental in putting together, she's got a volunteer base in an Excel spreadsheet. And all she needs is a call from somebody in the community to request a service. So I was, I guess, in my brain thinking, like, could we take that effort and offer it, or have the village consider making it a more robust or an official repository?
Repository. Okay.
Yeah, I think Lydia came up with some good language in the chat on number three.
Right.
But I think I'd like to suggest that it be put in terms of actively solicit the perspectives of those from different backgrounds. So that implies seeking out the perspectives, not just listening if someone comes forward, but actually seeking those perspectives.
Okay. Okay. And Matt, are you able to see the text in the
chat? Screen? Yes. Okay. I just grabbed it and now I'm trying
okay.
to.
Okay. Just okay. All right. So go. Now, Dan, with that explanation that Jim and Lydia talked about right now for under one on page 22, are you okay now with that language?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now I'm scanning a little.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
Yeah, and yeah, we talked about page 23, page 24. Okay, now I'm going a little slower because now I'm looking for the words.
No. Yeah, the next one's going to be on 32, but there's something before that I need to bring up because I think something got lost in the shuffle and all the revisions. That under the basis survey data indicated, unless I'm missing it, and I could be, my eyes are not as good as they used to be, but it's got no mention about the 75% who would essentially like to age in place. Let's assume it's six or more years. And when you're my age, six more years is aging in place for a lifetime. And those that would like to age in community, questions 58 and 59, 79%. And I think that it probably got lost in the hubbub, but I think we need to include those bits of data there, that 75% are interested in living, aging in place, and 79% are interested in aging in community. They're agree or strongly agree. It's questions 58 and 59. And if we're considering 30% as a threshold for something being of note, then this certainly exceeds that threshold. It's kind of important. I think it's kind of important to include that since the focus is on ensuring people being able to age in place and age in community.
Okay. So are you saying, Dan, that the calculation of is 75%?
Yeah, under the basis, it adds up to 75%. Not going into the two decimals. If you want to go into two decimals, feel free, but we aren't doing that with anything else. We'd like to live for 6 years or longer. Most of those are actually 11 years or longer. And 79% would like to live, that's to live in their home. 79% would like to continue to live in River Forest. And most of those are indeed 11 years or more.
Can I just ask, just poll the committee really quickly?
Yeah.
Anybody plan on selling their house within the next 5 years?
Nope.
So we got 0%.
Yeah.
0%. So I'm saying that when you look at a question like that, the way it's phrased, I think you got to look a little bit deeper at where we're all at as human beings and the way that we live in the world. 6 years, 6 to 11 years, that's not really that long. I know it seems significant, Dan, and I'm not in disagreement that it shouldn't be mentioned, that we could say that, again, 57% of River Forest residents would like to live in their home for 11 or more years. That's what the data shows. If you want to say include that, then I'd be happy to include that.
Yeah, the average in this country, the average length of stay in a home is 12 years.
I wonder what the average length of stay in a home in River Forest is, though, because we're not average. And that's not patronizing. It's just a reality of the access to education, socioeconomic status, all those variables that everybody here is a beneficiary of.
Well, according to our survey, 86% of the people have lived here 11 or more years of those who were surveyed. Keep in mind, we're talking about seniors. We're not talking about younger people.
Well, in order to be here for 11 or more years, at some point you wouldn't have been a senior. You would have been a junior and you would have aged into being a senior, because our survey started at age 50, didn't it?
55.
So 11 or more years puts you here at 45, and I don't know many 30-year-olds that can just jump right into the River Forest housing market. It's not a first-time homebuyer's town.
Well, I'd be happy to go and get the turnover data for you if you'd like. I have got no problem if we were to put in that, 57% wish to say they would like to live in their current home for 11 or more years, and 6 to 10 another 18%, 6 to 10 years, and that 61% would like to live in the River Forest another 11 or more years, and 18%, 6 to 10.
I don't think we need three bullet points to express that data. We already have too many bullet points in this section. Maybe one bullet point would be appropriate.
Take out the bullet point about 95% feeling safe in their home. I mean, this is...
Isn't that significant, Dan, by every measure that we have? That's significant. That's a smoking gun. That's something that you can report to people that they can feel good about. That's not a problem, and it's not problematic. You don't just have to find problems. You can find goodness, too.
What are you afraid of? Why are you afraid of including?
I'm not afraid of anything, Dan. I just want to report the facts. I like to stick to the facts. That's all. Just the data that we have. That's all.
We have the data. It's right there.
So then we don't need four bullet points. We can express it in one.
It's two bullet points. That's all it is.
How about 2.5, Dan? Would you agree on 2.5?
Simple bullet point.
It's not a negotiation, Dan.
Simple bullet point. 57% would like to continue to live in their home at least 11 more years, and 18% for 6 to 10 years. One bullet point. 61% would like to live in River Forest 11 or more. At least,
Dan, that's not the way any of the bullet points are constructed. You and yourself would agree, based on information, that you don't allow two questions to be asked in the same sentence, because that's inappropriate, nor should we report facts that way as well. We need to be consistent. So let's not get into the weeds on this. I said I'd agree with a bullet point. How does the committee feel about it? Somebody else weigh in, please.
Before you go any further, Jim, right here, 9% strongly agreed and 18% agreed they would consider modifying their homes. It's the same thing as what I'm suggesting.
Okay, Dan, listen, I'm just trying to make this consistent.
That's fine. If you want to say 57% agree and 17% strongly agree in a statement, and we want to put it in one bullet point, that's fine. We don't need three bullet points.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. All right, Matt, did you get that?
I did. I'm just
sorry.
No, you're good.
If not, yeah, well, it's being recorded, so we can just play it back then. Okay. Okay. All right. Then that takes us to I guess we just dealt with the one on 32 regarding that note to committee, because that's what we're talking about.
Okay. The reason for the note to committee on number 10 is it's just explaining why I included the portion about as long as the older adult owner of the property lives in the main home or accessory dwelling. That's because the opposition to this in communities all over the place is coming from the concern that people, and this is happening in Evanston rather severely, investors will come in, buy a house, add an accessory dwelling unit, foot fill both the accessory unit and the main house with the maximum number of people allowed under the definition of family and turn it into a mini dormitory, charging the tenants far more rent than what the normal market would bear. It's been a big problem in Evanston. I'm very intimately familiar with it. So that's why I included that provision in there. I'm just trying to explain why I included that provision there. And from the experience we had going before the Zoning Board of Appeals on ADUs last year, we it would be very prudent to include this to help prevent opposition from developing because of this concern. You know, actually, you know, Rez, sure. If there's a note committee that's just explaining why something's in there, I don't need to discuss it. You could just take the note to committee out.
Right.
Just put those in so okay. People will understand why the language was suggested.
Okay. So if...
Do we need to go through these then?
No. Okay. If it's just explaining why the language is there, there's no need to go through them.
Well, why would we want to include some of this language, though, if it's not based in the findings of our survey? Would you like me to point to the individual questions that I would call into question? So I suggest that we go through them as a committee. Because we've got, I don't know, 17 recommendations here or something like that?
Well, I think it's 15, unless I'm not adding correctly here, but...
Well, that could be the case. Yeah. I lose track when in our key findings from the survey, we reported one thing is that the most important thing for people is that they have options in different settings to age in place in River Forest. That's what our survey found. And we've got 17 recommendations.
Okay. Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm looking at Lydia as well. There are a number of these that have essential activities. So are those, other than maybe three, there's an or. Is it fair to say that the ones that are essential, that listed essential activity, are the ones that were in your original report, Lydia?
Yes.
Okay. So basically one, two, three, four, five, and then eight were in your original report. Is that correct?
Correct.
Those have, okay. So, Jim, now I'm going to you. So, are you addressing all of those as well, or just the ones that are
managing?
I'm sorry. I'm saying if you started with the ones that don't have the essential activities that we're adding.
Okay. That's what I thought then.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically what you're looking at or suggesting is six. We look at six, seven, eight. And these are paragraph numbers. So.
And I do think there's some opportunity for some of the
nine.
Bold recommendations to be considered essential activities. Maybe under some of the other recommendations.
And even a couple of them could be merged together.
Correct.
There's a lot of exploration in zoning codes and similar.
Right.
Correct. So I'm looking right now at six, seven, nine, I guess 10. 11, 12,
13,
14, 15,
14,
and
15.
Okay. Right.
So you could start backwards from 15, and as a committee, we've never discussed the village should promote and facilitate the conversion of seniors' conventional housing ownership to mutual housing associations or low equity cooperatives to enable seniors to affordably age in place and in community. Dan, can you show me anywhere in our survey where any of the findings in any way, shape, or form show that? or would you would derive from our findings and the simple questions that we asked that you would derive that as an answer?
Jim, I have informed this housing section with considerable expertise on the tools to achieve the two goals of enabling people to age in place and age in community. There are lots of techniques available. We've informed some of the other sections with expertise from Lydia and you and others that were not based on questions or findings in the survey. This is what plans do. You inform them. You don't just limit yourself to.
Well, can I suggest that we maybe add a best practices section? Then we could add some best practices for how villages might move forward with accommodating different, zoning codes and whole ownership opportunities and things like that. I don't believe that the charge of this committee or the findings of this survey in any way, shape, or form inform a whole bunch of these questions. And it might be, again, Dan, I don't in any way, shape, or form question your expertise or your level of authority on the subject matter. I respect it completely. I just think it's out of the scope of what we were able to find from our survey and what we can recommend as a committee, other than really literally going to a textbook of best practices. Sure. And then just simply saying to the trustees that you should try these 15 things to improve housing and options, affordability, accessibility for people of all ages in River Forest.
If you're taking that narrow view of our charge, I'm concerned.
And I respect that, but I really believe that items have to be extremely actionable and measurable, Dan.
These all are, more as much as anything else in here. If you look at the other plans that other cities did, they include this sort of stuff. I don't know why you want to take
out. Nobody's asking for it. Right. In those communities, did their surveys find people's interest in these elements? Again, because when we go back to ADUs, the reality of the ADU situation in River Forest is we have a very small minority of people that are actually interested in it. It barely meets our metric of no concern, yet it's the hallmark. It's part of the benchmark of our report, which is it's not ethical, Dan. It's not proper to improperly report the findings.
Jim, I think you must have missed the meeting where we talked about that.
I didn't miss any
25%
meetings.
Of the people were interested in it is extremely significant.
No, actually, you had to combine two categories to get to 25. Dan, two categories, not one, two. And that's back to the meeting that you might have missed where you helped develop the metric that we had to use. That we painstakingly had to use to come up with what was reasonable, what was low to moderate. This has been painstaking, Dan, at your request. So you have to follow your own rules. And I'll just shut up at this point.
Yeah. There is a ton of stuff in here that's not based just on a finding. They are tools to achieve what the findings pointed us towards in terms of a goal. That's what this section does too. If you want to put stuff as a best practice, that's fine with me.
Dan, why don't we do that in every other section? How come we're not doing that in every other section, every other domain? We're not.
We should have been doing it in all the domains.
No, Dan. We'd have a 150-page report. No one would read and nothing would be implemented. This needs to be meaningful.
Then the content needs to be meaningful, and this is very meaningful content. These are the tools the village needs to enable people to age in community and age in place. That's the whole point of it.
Okay,
if the committee doesn't want to include these sorts of things that will achieve these goals, then that's the committee's choice. But this is what these will achieve those goals. And we have a wealth of information to include on this. If the committee doesn't want to, if it wants to ignore the housing issues, and by the way, I did send you, and I apologize for the lateness, Jim had requested information on affordability of housing in River Forest, and it's not as nice a picture as we would like. But basically, you were concerned about what you would need to be able to afford the median-priced home. And in the census tract north of Chicago Avenue, you need an income of $238,000 to afford the median-priced home. In the census tract south of Chicago Avenue, you'd need an income of $176,000 to afford the median-priced home, using the latest data from the American Community Survey.
Okay.
Median household income in River Forest is, of homeowners in the two census tracts, it's $173,751, $129,000 in the south tract. Among tenants, $66,000 in the north tract and $41,000 in the south tract. That's just information to inform, you know, decision making. And that
based on those metrics, no one could afford to live in River Forest.
The problem that we have is that our property values are going up. All new construction is unaffordable, really, to most people that live in River Forest. And that's because the cost of construction so high and the profit margin so high. So, if you want to get logical about it, the idea would be to preserve the housing that is affordable to those people or those who wish to stay in River Forest. And for seniors, for example, the mention of low equity co-ops and mutual housing associations, the point is that we no longer need to get housing that's building well. We had our opportunity to build it. We've built what we can, and we will make the sacrifice of leaving, a single family home that's can grow, build more wealth for affordability. It's a trade-off. I realize this is getting into areas maybe some people don't want to deal with, but I think that this really builds a strong section. I know Barbara Morrell in her email to everybody stressed how important this section was. But, if it's the majority of the committee doesn't want to include material, then that's the will of the majority of the committee.
Yeah. And I think, Dan, the problem, I know you said that maybe the committee doesn't care. I wouldn't go that far. The committee, of course, cares about it. But I think the issue is trying to have some consistency in terms of weight. Because it's like, there's certain criteria that's being used for the housing and then not for the other sections. It may give the inference we don't care about the other sections. And I think that we're trying to weigh it so that it's almost equal, not in terms of reporting out. And so if there's some recommendations you have in here that go, I guess, beyond than what the responses were, then maybe that is something. And that if you're fitted into the category of best practices, then that's something that could be done separate from this report. Otherwise, you can go on and on and on. I mean, I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, it's just, we're already, this report was due back in October 21. And if we keep adding and doing more research, et cetera, by the time this report comes out, it's going to be irrelevant.
Rez, give me a little credit. I've been a planner for 50 years. And I have never seen a plan that has the same weight to every section in the plan, whether it's these age-friendly plans or a comprehensive plan or the village's own plans.
Right.
They're all going to be different because different sections demand different amounts of information and detail. I don't think having this amount of information in the housing section makes the other sections look bad. It's dealing with the area that I believe ARP considers to be one of the very most important for people, for aging-friendly. I have no problem if we were to take some of these and keep it in this plan, but have it as, after the recommendations, best practices to consider. I really would like us to be able to keep this in this plan, quite honestly, because if we don't put it in here, it's never going to get anywhere.
Okay.
The village board needs to see these sorts of options that it has to achieve the key goals of enabling us to stay in this community and in our homes.
Okay, I hear you. Here's what I'm going to do.
I add something?
Absolutely, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the alternative language to the recommendation, I mean, if people aren't going to understand a calling program, I'm not sure reading that sentence. I mean, I read it and I get it, but I have to read it a couple times. Conventional housing ownership, mutual housing associations, that's jargon. So if these recommendations are going to be kept in there at some level, I do think they need to be in plain speak, and they do need to be recommendations, not mandates, with actionable items.
Right.
And so I look at the data that we collected, and I think it warrants further consideration of these issues, but I wouldn't feel comfortable saying our findings legitimize and substantiate the need to promote and facilitate conversion of conventional housing ownership. That to me seems like a bit of a stretch. And we could argue the same thing. Like, do our findings warrant a pet adoption program? Probably not. But I think that there's sticking close to what we have found is important.
Lydia, how do you feel about the alternative language to 15 below it?
Yeah, I mean, should or could. I mean, I don't want a report where we're shooting all over people either, right? Like, I think that it invites opportunity to do some further consideration. Is housing an issue here? Affordability for aging older adults? Of course, but I don't know that restructuring our, I just think it is an issue that warrants further investigation. And we can recommend that, but I think
okay. Yeah, we can put this in turn, phrase some of these in terms of these are areas the village might want to look into, put in that sort of terminology. And I'd be happy to work with you, Rez, on doing that if you'd like.
Okay. All right. Okay. The rest, that's pretty much it from what I understand. So from what I see, anything else? Otherwise, what I'm proposing, one more shot. And let me ask you this. Is everyone comfortable with the formatting? Just to make sure, I think earlier I heard goals versus recommendations in terms of just keeping it. As I understood it, just recommendations instead of goals, or did I get that wrong?
We had originally been directed to do goals and recommendations, right. And I think that works.
Okay.
Yeah, so those goals in this document all come from Dan's document.
Okay.
I know that might be similar or very close language in recommendations or some of the overviews for each domain, but I just put them in there because that was what we had discussed and what Dan provided.
Yeah, okay. And most of those are just rewordings of what was in the original January report turned into the same style and format throughout.
Okay. All right. Are there any other, from a committee members in general, any other formatting suggestions or et cetera? Because I'm not looking at additions in terms of more categories or anything like that. I'm looking at more, does it look like the format that we want the final report to do or look at?
Well, you're getting there. There's a lot of details in the formatting that I don't know if it's worth bringing up here. We could talk about it.
But details? Dan, when you say details in terms of formatting, you mean text or you mean just how it lays out?
A little of both. 1%, the percentage sign, always use the word percent, not the percentage sign.
Okay.
And you could do some work on the headings and consistency with them. Don't put anything in all caps. You might want to use a different font, sans serif font for the headings. There's all sorts of things you do to make something more pleasant to read and easier to read, and provide a formatting style that makes it easier for someone to go through it so they can spot different consistencies. And I don't know that that's necessary to talk about in the committee. We could talk about it. And you can make the changes if you want to.
That's fine. Matt and I didn't do any of that because we were focused more on the text in terms of doing that. Now, If we have pretty much all the text, then Matt and I can work on consistency of titles and a little more on the formatting in itself. So I'm not worried about that.
There's actually, Riz, there's one thing that's incomplete. And I you know, this was from the Jim and Lydia text, where with the list of the members, you put in the ages.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know how the other committee members feel about it. I'm neutral. I don't give a darn if anyone knows my age, but a number of people have not provided their ages yet.
Oh, okay.
That comes there's a reason for that, Lydia. ARP recommendations. Like they want people part of, and I mean, I don't have 601 half dozen of another, but I think the point of that is to show that it's not a bunch of young people.
Correct.
Still doing this, that like we have stakeholders and older adults at the table. But if this isn't something that's important or people aren't comfortable with it, then it's fine.
Not a problem. As long as we complete this before August 19 of this year, I will be 62.
Before I turn 50? Yeah.
I will put in 62. Is there anybody else here? And does anybody oppose putting their age in?
Rez, why are you insistent upon using my son's birthday of August 19th?
Oh my God, are you kidding? Really? No, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, August 19th.
They say within like 12 people, two are going to have the same birthday.
Wow, that's a
statistically significant thing.
Okay, now August 19th.
I'll remember that forever, Rez.
Yeah, 62 until August 19th. Is there anybody else who does not, and I'll respect it, that does not want to put their age, their specific age in? Otherwise, we could leave it alone and not put it. You know, I don't mind.
You can make it up.
Oh.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we're not asking for the
ballpark.
Yeah, we can put a range for that matter too, if people feel more comfortable with the range. Just like in the survey categories.
You could put your age and then feels like, and then another age.
Or we could take all ages out and just say a percentage of the committee were over the age of X.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You know, that way it's less.
Or I thought about that. Or Lydia, you know how we put in the demographics, the age groups?
Mm-hmm.
Same age groups and then say one committee. Or how many committee members fell in that age group? And then
maybe that's a soft.
Rez, may I suggest you send an email to each committee member asking them if they have any objection to their age being listed, and if they don't, what's the age?
Okay. Not a problem.
There's a couple of people aren't here.
We should see what age we are when we finish.
My sentiments, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right, I'll do that. I'll follow. Okay, no problem. All right. Is there any other, Dan, or anybody else who noted that we didn't touch upon today and that we need to complete? But, every time I look at this, I think we have everything now that we were going to address. But, okay. Okay. Hearing none, then.
So what is our plan now?
Our plan is that Matt and I are going to now take the information we received today, and we're going to try to take another shot at another revision, but within the document that we have with the comments we heard today.
Kind of hone it down.
Yes. And then we're also now going to focus on the formatting, the text, because there was different fonts, and Matt and I didn't do any of that because we thought we're going to still finalize the text. So we're going to hone in on the document you see before you with the comments you heard today, but not to add any more. Okay. So then what I'm planning to do then is do that and then send that out for the next meeting. And hopefully we'll be able to do that before, not hopefully, we will be able to do it before the next meeting. It won't be as short as this time because we were seeking more input. This is really going to be, Matt, I'm thinking probably a week before the next meeting at the latest to send this out to everybody so they have a good, and obviously should not be big surprises. It's based on the information we have on the document today. So hopefully it will look actually much prettier and easier to understand. So that's what I'm recommending, if that's okay with everybody. Okay. All right. Okay. So then any questions on next steps? And I'm looking at everybody, making sure. Okay. Then the next meeting is on March the 8th, 6 o'clock. And
before we call the roll.
Yes.
Go ahead. Can I just make one last comment? I want to thank Matt for all his work. Congratulate him on his recent interim promotion. And hope that we see you here long term, sir. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jim, for that. Sorry, Matt, I overlooked that, but I figured you're part of the family already. So so that's it. But thank you. And that's true. Dan?
Since the next meeting is going to be so important, is there any way we could meet at 7 instead of 6 so Barbara Morrell can attend?
I'm looking at our committee members to see, well, I don't know what their schedules are. And that's assuming the other two can also meet.
Well, we can send a reminder and check with the date, the time, when a couple weeks in advance.
I think it's okay. I mean, I'm available.
Okay.
We're usually here until 8 or 9 anyway.
So. Yeah. All right. So let's then, you know, Dan, Matt, let's send an email out to the committee that we're considering the next meeting, March 8th. We're thinking of starting at 7. Is that going to be a problem for anyone? Okay. And see.
No problem.
Yeah. The last time, Jim, the last time we tried this, somehow it became so complicated that we couldn't even get a quorum. I don't know why. I'm not jinxing it, but we'll reach out to all the members. I'm fine. I can meet 7 o'clock also. So, but we'll see. I just want to make sure I don't lose a quorum. But okay. All right. Then we'll send out an email, Matt, for the full committees to saying, number one, they could be here on March the 8th. And can they make it at 7 or can they only make it at 6? I don't know what their schedule. Let's see. If they, as long as they can make it at 7, we can do it. Okay?
Yep.
All right. Okay. Any other questions or discussions? If not, okay, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I motion.
Okay. Second, Lydia? Okay, I thought I was. Okay, roll call, please. And before you do, Matt, I want to thank everybody for coming today and thank you for all your input. Okay, Matt.
All right, Member Flanagan?
Present, yes.
Member Frederick?
Yes.
Member Lauber?
Yes.
Member Manning?
Yes.
And Chairman Vasquez?
Yes. Okay, thank you.